Come on, give us a clap. Give us a clap. There we go. That's for him, right? Okay, good. So this is our fourth week in the series, right? We did Activate. Who's got it? No, that's not the first one. Ooh, what's the first one? Forgiveness. Pastor Tara over here. So Activate Forgiveness. Then we got Activate Generosity. Activate last week. This week we have Activate Prayer. Look at that. Great job, Matthew. I love that. Okay, so we're talking about activating prayer. So I want to start off tonight with a little quote. So if you want to throw that up on the screen, Mark Batterson, he's a pastor down in Washington, D.C. at a church called National Community Church. He just came out with a book, The Circle Maker, a little bit ago. Some of you might know it, some of you might not. But his quote is, if you pray to God regularly, irregular things will begin to happen on a regular basis. Let that sink in for a sec. If you pray to God regularly, irregular things will begin to happen on a regular basis. Now, for this next 25 minutes or so, I'm going to try and prove to you that that's right. So, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be reading out of Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And we'll just jump right in. So, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian Regiment. He and his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius! Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel said, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. Let's pray real quick. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for tonight. Thank you that we can be here to listen to what you have to say to us. And God, use me and use your words through me. In your name we pray. Amen. So I want to jump back to verse 2. If you guys remember, it said regularly in there. So put that up on the screen. He and his family were devout and God-fearing. This is Cornelius. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. What was the quote? If you pray to God regularly, irregular things will happen on a regular basis. Now, Cornelius, he was what we call a Gentile. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Gentiles and Jews are the two kind of people back then. Now, Jews and Gentiles didn't really get along. And here's the reason. Gentiles, they were mostly pagans. If you guys know what pagans are, it's a type of religion with tons and tons of different goddesses and gods of many, many different things. Like, this monitor has a god in the pagan religion, and this music stand has a god. So it's just ridiculous. So he's a Gentile, and we can assume through this verse, we can see that he's a God-fearing man and a devout Christian. So we can assume that he has found the bankruptcy and emptiness of paganism, that he's found God. He's found the one true God that the Jews worship. But the one difference is the Gentiles, they don't have the gospel. They don't have Jesus. They don't know anything about what we call the Old Covenant. We'll get into that, which is just like a bunch of laws, a bunch of rules that God has given to the Israelites, which we call the Jews today. And here's the difference between Gentiles and Jews. On the Jews' side, Jews were the chosen people. If you remember back into Abraham, this is back in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Abraham and his son Isaac and then Jacob, they basically created Christianity in a sense back in the day before Jesus. It wasn't called Christianity back then, but they were called the Israelites. They were the chosen people, and that's why they kind of set themselves apart, because they believed that they had a higher calling, that they were God's chosen people. So Gentiles are over here, Jews are over here. They didn't really get along. So let's continue with the story a little bit. So we're at Cornelius. He gets the vision. He fears God, so obviously he's like, let's do this. So he sends people to Joppa to see Peter. Now we jump in with Peter. Peter's a Jew. Cornelius, Gentile. See how that works. And so Peter is praying, and we can jump to verse 9. It says, about noon the following day, as they, the people that Cornelius sent, were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He's at someone's house named Simon the Tanner. And he goes up on the roof. And this, we can assume, is his regular activity. He does this at about noon every single day. And so he's praying to God regularly. We have Cornelius praying to God regularly. What can happen? Irregular things can happen. So if you're following the story, if you have your Bibles open, you can read that Peter is praying and he starts to feel a little hungry. And what happens? He goes into this trance. And he just goes into the trance. And God starts giving him a vision. And now this vision, there's this sheet that's coming down from heaven. And it's got a whole bunch of animals on it. It's got, you know, your goats and your sheep and your pig and your cows. And then it's also got reptiles and it's got birds on it. And that's what happened. So he's got this vision of these animals coming down on this sheet. And what God says is, Peter, get up, kill, and eat. And now Peter's like, whoa, wait up, God. What are you talking about? Because on this sheet, there were so many different animals. And for a Jewish person, they can only eat certain animals. They can only eat, and now here's some Jewish dietary law. You ready? This will kind of get you excited about Jews. Dietary law states that they cannot eat animals without a split hoof, which for like, you know, as you can see, like cows, they got the split hoof. Goats have a split hoof. Sheep, stuff like that. And then, this one's the kicker. Animals that don't chew their own cud. I said that right? Cud. Here it is. You ready for this? Chewing their own cud means, in their dietary process, an animal will regurgitate the food, and they will chew it again and consume it yet again. And so if animals don't do that, they can't be eaten by the Jewish people. So isn't that delicious? You want to do that with your pizza later, right? Throw it back up, eat it. Okay. So, so we got that. And so there's animals on the sheet that Peter's like, what are you talking about, God? They don't regurgitate their food. I can't eat that. But here's what God does. Peter is confused as to what God is saying. But God, we can see in Acts chapter 10, verse 14, as Peter's being his normal self, arguing with the Lord. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. If God was talking to me and he was telling me to do something, I don't think I'd say, surely not, Lord. But he does it. Peter said, surely not, Lord, he replied. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Now, Peter is a man who's kind of stuck in the old ways. The old covenant, as I said before, that's what Peter's following. The old covenant is very legalistic. It's got a lot of rules. And so what Peter doesn't realize is that there's a guy, his name is Jesus, and Jesus kind of fulfilled this new covenant. So what happened is when Jesus came about to this earth, he was born, it was a holy time, and he went throughout his life, and then he was 33, and you know, he did his whole thing, and died on the cross. What he did there is, throughout the 3 years of ministry that he did, he gave us this new covenant. We can see it in books like Matthew with the Beatitudes, if you guys want to look that up later. He gives us all these different rules, like love God, love others. You know, you don't have to worry about what you're eating anymore. Just love God, love others, do all this other stuff, which is very important, so I'd read that. And so that's what Peter was thinking. He was like, I still got all these rules. God, what are you talking about? I can't eat any of this. I can't do any of that. And so it's very legalistic, but it was because of Christ's sacrifice that he can now indulge in whatever he wants to do. And he doesn't realize that. So when he's arguing with the Lord and God says, do not call anything impure that I have made clean. Now we can realize that that doesn't matter what we're eating. It doesn't matter, you know, what we're doing, as long as we're following God, loving others. You know, that's basically the new covenant. And so, you know, God wasn't trying to say to eat something unclean. The reason of this vision is to show Peter something different, something out of the box. And Peter had to look into it a little bit. And finally, when he started, it was kind of clicking for him. As we can read later in the scripture, he's not really getting it quite yet. But in this moment, it kind of clicks a little bit, and he realizes that God isn't talking about animals anymore. And so we can read a little bit later, and God says something along the lines of, hey, I know that you think you should do it this way, but I have a plan. Listen to me. What I want you to do is I want you to go with these guys that are coming to your house. Peter doesn't know anyone's coming to his house yet. And he's just doing his regular thing and praying in a trance. And so Peter, Peter, he's talking with God, arguing with God, and God says, okay, there's people coming to your house. I want you to go with them. Okay, go with them. And you're going to go to a man named Cornelius. Now listen, he's a Gentile. And Peter's like, oh, okay, God, you had me at the animals, but I can't do that. He's a Gentile. And God was like, no, you're not listening. What I have made clean, you can't call impure. What are you thinking? It applies to people too. Yeah, he's a Gentile. Do I care? I created him. I love him. So the main idea of this whole text is that God is calling Peter because he prays regularly so he can communicate with him and communicate his plan. And he goes, Peter, bring the gospel. Bring the goodness of Jesus. Bring his great news to everyone else, not just the Jews. So as we continue on in the story, Peter, he wakes up from his trance and he gets a knock on the door, and there it is, the people Cornelius sent. So he goes with them, and he goes all the way to Joppa, which is about 32 miles away. And back then, that was a long distance. So he walks all that way. He gets to the doorway. Cornelius is inside with his family and a few other people. And he gets to the doorway, and he's standing there. Takes a deep breath, I can only imagine. And then steps through the doorway. And it was that moment, right there, that changed the world. Because two men prayed, and two men did their thing that God was telling them to do. We're sitting here today. And you're like, Alex, no, you're kidding. We'd be here today, but even if they didn't do that. And I'm telling you, no. Because those two men, a Jew and a Gentile, got together, and the Jew gave the Gentile the gospel of Christ. It opened the world to his great news. And so we're sitting here, and I'm talking to you today, and you're sitting here, and I'm guessing God has placed you here today for a reason. Whether this is your first time, second time, 20th time, 100th time, God has put you here for a reason. And my point, and my only point tonight, my campus pastor back at school says that a lot, so I kind of feel silly saying that. But my point and my only point tonight is that we can't be used to our fullest potential until we start communicating with God regularly. We can't do it. He's not going to be able to use us. He's not going to be able to move through us until we start communicating with him. So I want you guys to bow your heads and close your eyes real quick. I want to talk to those of you who are here who have never accepted Christ. This is all new to you. You're listening to me and you're going, Alex, what are you saying? I don't get it. But here's what's happening. Is that God has a plan for you. I know that sounds really weird to some of you, but God does have a plan for you. It says in the Bible, we can look at the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And so those of you who are sitting here who are going, I don't know what I want to do with my life. You know, I'm nearing my final years in high school, if I'm not already there, and I still don't know what I want to do. God has a plan for you. So if that's you tonight, if that's you who haven't accepted God yet, I just want you to look up at me real quick. Thank you. I'm going to agree with you that the Lord has something for you, and I want you to accept him into your heart, because right now he's at the doorway. He's tugging on your heartstrings, and you can feel it. And that's him. That's not me, and that's not you. That's him. And so what he wants to do is he wants to get into your heart. So thank you. God, thank you. So let's pray just real quick. God, thank you for those who looked up, who agreed with you to come into their heart. God, I pray that they can start to realize the plan that you have for them. And we thank you for that. Okay, you can look up. Now I'm going to move to those of you who are here who have accepted Christ, who know a little bit about Christianity, and those who just accepted Christ, this is for you too. And the leaders and the parents in the back, this is for you too. Now, in a moment, we're going to play a song. Matt's got it ready in a moment. But the song's called Arms Open Wide. And the first verse goes like this. Take my life, I lay it down. At the cross where I am found, all I have I give to you, O God. Now, right here in this place, where you're sitting, where are you? Rhetorical question. I will answer it. You're at the cross. Where Jesus died, you're at it right now. And so, Bow your heads again. Close your eyes. And stand up. Yeah. Without looking around, I don't want anybody to see anybody right now. We're all going through something. We all got something on our heart. Whether it's a struggle, whether it's pain, stress, whatever it is. You're all going through something. I know it. I'm going through something. And so that thing that I just brought about, that addiction, the pain from a divorce, the pain from losing a loved one, the stress that you have from the work or summer-related things, whatever it is, whatever's on your heart, whatever I just hit. If you got that, I want you to raise your hand. If you're going through something, I want you to raise your hand. If you're struggling with something, raise them high. If there's something that's hitting you right now, something that's on your mind. I know some of you haven't. You haven't done it yet. You haven't raised your hand. But you're going through something and you don't want to share it with anybody. And I'm not going to tell you to yell it out or anything. But keep your hands up if you got it. For those of you who don't, that's okay. But without putting your hands down, I want you guys to look up and look around. Keep your hands up. Don't be ashamed. My hand's up. The majority of us, if not all of us, are going through something. Every single one of us. What? Okay. Now keep your hands up. Now here's what I want you to do. Remember, you're at the cross where Jesus died for you, for me, for the Gentiles and the Jews. Take your hand. That's you, Austin. There you go. I want you to put it right in front of you. Right there. And the thing that you're struggling with, the thing that's in your mind, the thing that I hit, I want you to leave it there. Put your hand back. Leave it right in front of you. Okay. I'm going to tell you a little story. Remember, that's right in front of you. So I was camping last week. And when I was camping, I was leading worship. And this was this past Friday. And so it's called the Powwow, if some of you know the Royal Rangers. Woo-hoo! Yeah, okay, there it is. I was camping at the Powwow. I was leading worship. There was about 300 boys there. And it was an amazing, amazing weekend. I have a great story to share with you. So we're leading worship, and we get through the Friday night service, and we get done with the worship portion. You guys can sit down if you want, I guess. I'll let you sit down. So we're leading worship. We get through that, and the speaker comes up, and I thought this was crazy. I liked it a lot. But the speaker comes up. He walks up on the stage. He grabs the microphone, and he walks out to the audience without saying a thing. Stands there, kind of looks down a little bit. Then he looks up, and he goes, "Well, thank you, worship team. You just changed completely what I was going to say." And I was like, "Yes." But when you can sense the Spirit moving like that, it's an amazing, amazing time. And so what he talked about was awesome, but while we were on the stage, he told us to stay on the stage too. While we are on the stage, we're standing, we're listening to what he has to say. And I'm looking over in the distance, and what people are looking forward, they can't see, but I'm looking out and I can see it, and there's this thunderstorm coming in. And now on the stage, we have like thousands of dollars worth of music equipment and speakers and all this stuff. And so like I'm looking out in the distance and I'm going, "Oh no, it's coming." And like I subtly whip out my phone and I'm like looking at the radar and I'm like, "Oh boy." Like the biggest cell of clouds that I've ever seen is coming straight for us. I'm like, "Oh no, come on. We gotta get through this." I was like, "Come on, speaker." And so we're going through it, and I was just sitting there. I was like, "We got to pray. We got to pray right now." So I like looked over at the worship leader that was right next to me. I was like, "Dude, you see that?" And like, there's lightning flashing all the time. And I was like, "Dude, we got to pray." He was like, "Pray for what?" And I was like, "Look up, stupid." And he was like, "Oh." I was like, "Start praying. Pass it down the line." And I looked over to my right, like, "Start praying. Pass it down the line." And so our sound guy, he's off to our right, kind of calls me over and he shows me his phone. He's like, "I know." And so he shows it to me, and I thought it was going to be the radar, but I was like, I was wrong. He's showing me these texts, and he's saying, he's from Carthage, New York, which is up about an hour and a half north of us. And he's like, "There's people back in Carthage praying for us." And I was like, "Yes." I'm like, "We're going to need all the prayers we can get, because like literally it's the biggest cloud I've ever seen coming towards us." And so yeah, I'm up there, and I'm doing my thing, praying, and I was like, "Oh, it's getting closer." So what we do is, as quietly and subtly as we can, we start tearing down the stage while the speaker's going. So we were probably distracting a lot of people, but he was saying some good stuff. So hopefully, my bad, it wasn't too bad. So we're clearing off the stage, and we're still praying as we're clearing off the stage, and I'm like, God, come on, you can do it. I know you can. And so we're going. We get everything cleared off that we can that won't distract the speaker from, like, speaking. So we have the speakers left on the stage. We have one microphone, my microphone, and I told the piano player to set up under the tent just in case it rains. You know, it's not terrible if the speakers get wet. We can always buy more. Hopefully not. But so he starts playing, the piano player, under this tent that we have set up, and I'm out on the stage just by myself, and we're praying, and the speaker's starting to wind down a little bit, and I was like, okay, here we go. And all of a sudden I whip out my phone one more time. The cloud was coming straight for us, and all of a sudden, right before it hits us, it goes sideways. What? So it's coming straight at us, and right in the midst of us praying and believing that God can move that cloud, starts going towards Albany. Straight. Like, it's coming straight down at us, and then it just shifts and goes, like, massive storm. You could hear the thunder and see the lightning, like, miles and miles and miles and miles away. Some people, like, couldn't go to sleep because they could hear the thunder all night. And it's right by us. What? So, my thought tonight is that thing that you have in front of you, remember it? It's right there. With prayer and with faith that God can move that storm, you can leave that struggle right here at the cross. God can take that away. He's going to swoop in once you leave it there. Right down. I'm going to step down a little bit. Be on your level. God can take that and move it. He's going to do a little magic trick called forgiveness. He's going to hit you with a little mercy and a lot of bit of love. And He's going to let you go on your way. He's going to let you do your thing. And whether you feel it immediately, or you feel it in a week, or in a month, or in the next school year, whatever it is, whatever that struggle was, it's going to start feeling a little bit better. And what's going to happen is the devil's going to come in. He's going to be like, hi, you know how you got rid of that one struggle? Here's another. But now you know God can take that away. Because wherever you are is where the cross is. Wherever you are is where Jesus is. God doesn't leave your side. What? You like that? So, I want you guys tonight, you can start playing that song, Matt, to activate your prayer life right here and right now. Activate your prayer life, because He can move thunderstorms, He can move mountains, and your prayers and what God has for you can change lives, can change cities, and can change the world. Two men back in the Bible, two men prayed regularly, which allowed us to be here tonight. So what can you do with your prayer? So for the next minute, I want you guys to look down, and I want you to look around. That struggle that you placed right in front of you, for the next minute, pray that away. Move that storm. God can do it. Have the faith that He can. For the next minute, you can turn it up a little bit, Matt. All you have for me. Oh, here I stand, arms open and wide. Oh, I am yours, and you are mine. Jesus.
Lord, we praise you. And thank you, God, that we can give our lives to you and trust that you have a plan for us. That you have a way that we don't know that we can trust. Father, I thank you for the word that you spoke through Alex tonight and how pinpoint accurate it is to so many of us that are struggling with things and storms that we know could derail us and wreck our lives. Lord, if we lay them at your feet, such a beautiful, amazing thing that we can leave our storms at your feet, leave our struggles and our challenges at your feet, and walk away because you bore the cross for them. Father, I praise you and I thank you for every person in this room, for every student who is set free by your cross. I pray, God, tonight as we leave, that you would magnify your name in our lives, that you would lead us into the next step of our journey, and you would continue to empower us to do what you've called us to do. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Amen. Amen. As you guys raise your heads and your eyes are looking straight up here, there are some of you who I know need to respond to this word with a movement, with a physical movement. You're in your heart, God is speaking to you. He's saying, come to me. Come to me. Surrender. You've surrendered before, and God is saying, surrender again. And you know the stuff. I don't need to know it, but it's between you and God. But I want you, if that's you in the room, I want you to stay up here. And we can pray for you. We can talk with you about what that means, what your next step is. And we have a resource for you to learn to follow Jesus. And I know you guys have heard that before. Some of you have heard that before. Some of you, it's the first time you've heard that. But I want you to start taking steps towards true freedom and true forgiveness that you've not experienced yet, and strength in Christ. So if that's you, stay up here. The rest of you, we're going to dismiss you to head downstairs. So that is now. If it's you and you want to stay up here and talk about your next steps in faith, stay up here. If it's not you, you can be dismissed to go downstairs. Kyle.